President Schmeel, President Preuss, esteemed members of the faculty, members of the Boards of Regents, honored guests, friends of the seminary, parents, proud parents of the graduates, and you have a right to be proud, and proud, and I think probably relieved, wives and children of our graduates, we are proud of you, and especially you, the men who in a short time we will address as dear brethren in the holy office of the ministry. May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give to you his grace and his peace. A little boy answered the telephone. The caller said, "Is your mommy at home?"
"Yes."
"Well, can I talk to her?"
"No, she's busy."
Well, the caller said then, "Is your father at home?"
"Yes, but he can't come to the phone either."
"Well, is there any adult there?"
"The police are here."
"Well, what are the police doing there?"
"They're looking for me."
"Well, we are thankful this evening that we do not have to look for you. And I want you to know that in all the years that are ahead, the church expects to know where to find you. The church expects to find you active in the ministry of word and sacrament. As you prepare and conduct the many divine services, as you are faithful and frequent in your calling upon members and prospects alike, be that in their homes, in the hospital, or in the nursing homes, as you present yourself as a kindly pastor in the parochial school or the educational agencies of your congregation, as you mingle not only with your members but with non-members in your community, presenting yourself to them as a person of conviction but also an approachable man of God, as you do all this and much more, your church expects to find you focused upon the ministry of word and sacrament. And if you faithfully conduct that high office, if you publicly administer these mysteries of God, then the lay people will be blessed with ever greater faith in Jesus Christ, who remains the only name under heaven given among men, whereby we all must be saved. As you publicly proclaim the word and administer the sacrament, the Spirit will be there with his attendant blessings. For where the gospel of Christ is spoken, there the Spirit is present to work faith when and where he will in those who hear the gospel. And as you conduct that public office faithfully, your lay people will be equipped to witness privately to those that they meet. And here is an important point. Your lay people, in their private witness, will be able to take the message of Christ and his salvation into places where you, as a pastor, will never be able to go. Not too long ago, I met a man named Tom. Tom is an executive for a West Coast ad agency. And he related the story of the DeMoss Foundation. As he told the story to me, the DeMoss Foundation wanted to prepare a pro-life commercial for television. And you may have seen it. It is a very winsome, attractive commercial. One of the best pro-life presentations I have ever seen. So according to the story, the DeMoss people went to several production agencies in New York and they laid down $200,000 on the table up front. They said, "We'll pay you. This is what we want you to do." And every agency refused. because life is not politically correct. Choice is. Well, eventually, the people of the DeMoss Foundation found an agency that would produce that commercial. And now the next problem is, how do we market it? And so they went to the offices of the major networks, ABC, NBC, and CBS, and they went in with their wallets open, ready to pay the going price to have these commercials put on network television. And again, they were told, no, we won't touch it, because it is not safe, it is not politically correct. And you think that we have freedom of speech in the United States. Compared to some societies, perhaps, yes, but it is not as untrammeled as we may think. Now, what impresses me about that whole story, and what is relevant to my message tonight, is that when a number of Christian businessmen heard about this treatment from the insiders on the East Coast, they demanded that an accounting be made, and they threatened to pull their contracts from these marketing and production agencies. Those were lay people who took a witness to morality into a place that a pastor would never reach. A month ago, I went into Washington, and I landed at National Airport, and there was a tremendous storm, and I had to wait at the rental agency for 2.5 hours before my driver was able to get there and pick me up. 2.5 hours I sat there, dressed just like this. I was there so long that when the staff got its pizza, they said, "Father, why don't you come on back in the back room and eat pizza with us? You've been here so long." Well, during the 2.5 hours that I was there, I elicited people come in and pick up their rental cars. And most of the conversations were not memorable, but one impressed itself upon me. Two women, 60-ish years old, came in, and they were just ecstatic. They were so thrilled to have come in from California to Washington because they were going to have a great weekend. They were going to be marching with 1 million other gays and lesbians on the nation's capital. And I thought, what is Art and Norma's little boy doing here at a place like this? The next day, I had the privilege of offering the opening prayer for a session of the House of Representatives. And when that was over, and after the majority leader gave a nice presentation about the Lutheran Hour that was picked up on C-SPAN, about a dozen men came at me. And the first one said, "I recognize your voice right away because I listen to it all the time on the Lutheran Hour." And he then introduced himself as the chief assistant to Newt Gingrich, the minority whip. And after that introduction came congressmen from Minnesota, Tennessee, South Carolina, Nebraska, and so on, Montana. And they all introduced themselves to me as Lutherans who share the same confessional and biblical commitment that you and I have of faith in Christ. And after all the overwhelming experience of meeting lesbians in the budget rental car, after the awe of being in these corridors of power, I thought, thank God that we have lay people who share this faith and are present in the corridors of power to give testimony to that faith in a place where you or I cannot effectively be. For you and I conduct a public ministry. They carry out a private witness that can go where you and I may never be able to reach. My first congregation was in Southern Illinois, a small rural congregation that has one great distinction. It is where Professor Seleska grew up. And the town has never been the same since. But when I served there, many decades later, a woman by the name of Molly Buckland called me up.
seems that she had to go to the hospital in Belleville. Belleville is a town of about 40,000, and she thought that only our pastor, who is wise in the ways of the world, can navigate traffic in a town of 40,000. One of your members of the boards of regents, Pastor Miller, made an impression on me some years ago when he told about a member that he had in a congregation who called upon him every spring and fall to take out and put in the air conditioner. Now there was perhaps a time, and there still are people today who may think that you as pastor are omnicompetent and can do everything. There was a time when the pastor was the most educated member of the community, but it is no longer that way on almost every issue. There are lay people who know more about a given subject than you do or I do. Now, unless you want to be very, very frustrated, you will focus your energies upon the public office of the Word and Sacrament, and upon the pastoral delivery of the wonderful truths of the Gospel. Please, do not be seduced by other disciplines, by sociology, by psychology, by business management, or what have you. They all have their place. And a helpful place it is, too. But they can be only ancillary to that public office of holy ministry, where you as pastor deliver the comforts of the gospel to the laity. I have in my home office a picture of a little girl, about a year and a half old, I would guess, named Ana Rosa Rodriguez. Some of you will recognize that name immediately. Ana Rosa, about a year and a half old, is a cuddly little toddler. You'll want to pick her up and hold her. And her picture has her outfitted in a nice, frilly little girl dress. But when you look at the picture, you notice that little Ana Rosa has no right arm. Her mother didn't want to have her. Her mother decided that being a single parent was much too difficult, and so she went to a New York abortionist who botched the procedure. And when the abortionist realized that he was making a mess of that procedure, he panicked and sent the mother away. The next day, from the trauma that was induced, little Ana Rosa was born without one arm, the arm that had been severed by the abortion. Now someday, sooner than later, little Ana Rosa is going to look into her mother's face and say, "Mommy, why do I have only one arm?" What will the mother say? The right answer is, we live in a sinful world, and I am a sinner, but Ana Rosa, we have a God who is so great that he can forgive the most terrible of all sins, and this God in Jesus Christ loves you with a perfect love and will be with you your whole life long. That's the correct answer. And what will the mother say when she says, "How could I have done this to my own child?" And we know the right answer to give to that mother. You have a God whose compassion is so great that he forgives you even this sin completely by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he will help you through his word and spirit to unload that guilt every day that remains in your life until he takes you into heaven. That's the right answer. Now, Ana Rosa and the mother are going to be asking those questions, and you, pastor-to-be, will not be there to give the answer. to give answer to those questions when they arise. But you know who'll be there? Lay people will be there. And I pray to God that the lay people who are present at that time have come to know the great comforts of the gospel that meet the accusations of the law. And I pray that as you join the rest of us in the ministerium of our synod, that you will zealously perform the public office of word and sacrament, of law and gospel, of pastoral and kindly delivery of the comforts of the scriptures to the lay people, so that those lay people in the various private opportunities that they have to witness will be able to bring the comfort of Jesus to those that they meet. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy true sake. Amen.